Good morning. It's 8464CA. Well, I have focused on particularly the Spanish mackerel changes to the fishery that are certainly on the horizon. And it is a little bit of a controversial one, this one. But I tell you what, something really interesting came across my desk in the last couple of days. It's the Good Fish Sustainable Seafood Guide, an independent guide to the sustainability of seafood found in Australian fishmongers, supermarkets, fish and chip shops, and restaurants. And obviously, our waters, like the Great Barrier Reef. When it comes to the sustainability of our fisheries, Australia is in such a good position compared to so many other places around the world, but we cannot afford to take our eye off the ball. This is a great concept. To find out a little bit more about it, Queensland fisheries expert Simon Miller from the AMCS joins me this morning. Good morning, Simon. How are you today?
Morning, Murray. I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Really good to talk to you because I do spend a lot of time out there on the Great Barrier Reef, and I have been following certainly some of the concerns about the Spanish mackerel fisheries right across Queensland in particular, and getting quite opposite points of view. But it does seem the science is the one that's basically, getting things across the line. There are some concerns. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the concerns here in Queensland, the ones that have actually had the red light from this new Good Fish Guide, particularly, of course, wild caught barramundi, Spanish mackerel, as we've mentioned, prawns as well. They're some of the ones that continue to be in danger when it comes to actually the marine stocks here in Queensland.
In terms of the stocks themselves, on the East Coast, the stocks of a lot of these species, particularly wild-caught prawns in Queensland, are actually really good. And the stocks of barramundi along the East Coast are mostly in a pretty good condition as well. Now, our Good Fish Sustainable Seafood Guide, it doesn't just look at the stocks. It looks at the effect of the fisheries on the entire ecosystem. And as you've mentioned, I mean, I'm sure a lot of your listeners spend a lot of time fishing and enjoying the Great Barrier Reef. Now, the Great Barrier Reef is the World Heritage Area, and the public generally expects things like fishing to be held to the highest standards, really, within a World Heritage Area, and something that means so much to Queenslanders like the Great Barrier Reef. And so, although the stocks of species like wild-caught prawns and barramundi are in this good position, unfortunately, the way that those fish are caught through using gill nets to catch barramundi or threadfin or trawling for prawns is also having other effects on the ecosystem. And probably the biggest concern is though the bycatch, the accidental catch of threatened species. And we just don't have good data on the levels of bycatch, how many dugongs or turtles are being caught each year, for example. But we have seen from the risk assessments that are done by the Queensland government that there are a lot of high risks occurring from these types of fishing methods, and they just haven't been addressed yet. And so, unfortunately, that's why we are seeing species like that still redlisted in our sustainability guide.
Now, look, if we can actually talk a little bit further about the Queensland government and their Sustainable Fisheries Strategy 2017 to 2027, a lot of the things that have actually come up in that study have still not been addressed in relation to the recovering depleted species like scallops and Spanish mackerel, and including, you know, some of the other threatened species like dugongs, turtles and sawfish. As I said at the intro, this whole thing is becoming incredibly politicised. But at the end of the day, it's interesting that your position is that it's not being politicised as such by the Queensland government. They could actually be doing better. They've actually got more work to do to protect some of our fisheries and some of these iconic species here in this state.
Well, that's right. I mean, as you say, the Sustainable Fisheries Strategy, we're at the halfway point in that. It's a 10-year strategy from 2017 to 2027. So we're at that halfway point. And I mean, our fisheries are, generally speaking, a lot better managed now than they were 5 years ago. We've made a lot of improvements there. We've got sustainable catch limits set for a lot of our species so that we can make sure that we build our fish stocks up to these healthy and resilient levels. But there are a couple of areas that are starting to fall behind now. And so, in particular, like you mentioned, it's reducing these impacts of fishing on protected species like dugongs, turtles, sawfish and sea snakes. And I guess to do that, one of the first things we need to have is good data on exactly how many of them are being caught each year, because you can't effectively manage these populations if you don't know exactly what the impact of fishing is. And one of the key actions within the Sustainable Fisheries Strategy is to roll out what's called independent data validation. So that's having some kind of independent scrutiny of all the threatened species interactions, the catch, the discards in all of our fisheries in Queensland, because the fishers have to report this stuff. It's just making sure that what they're reporting is completely accurate. And so that's an area where the Queensland government is falling behind, and we'd really encourage the Queensland government to push on and start looking at implementing that independent data validation.
That's quite an interesting point of view, because you know, if you listen to some of the lobby groups around various regions here in Queensland, they're basically blaming it as some form of conspiracy actually by the Queensland government and the Fisheries Department there. So it's interesting to get that different point of view. Now, look, you know, I think one of the key things we need to remember here with this particular guide is it's independent, it's objective, and it is based on good science. But there is also some really positive news too, some success stories in the state. The good fish assessors have actually given listing to most of the reef line fisheries target catch, including coral trout, a positive position. The guide also adds several new sustainable seafood options caught from the Great Barrier Reef, including spangled emperor, hussar, and stripy snapper. So I guess that's the good thing about accessing this guide, and it is available online, is there's some really positive news about some of the things that, you know, you should be considering catching as well.
That's right. And so there really is a success story in the reef line fishery. And I mean, reform started in this fishery some years ago. It was one of the first fisheries in Queensland to go to having sustainable catch limits. We've now had what's called a harvest strategy, which sets out kind of publicly sets out the rules for how the fishery operates and how you adjust your fishing activity based on what the science is telling you about the fish stocks. And in the reef line fishery, we've got really healthy fish stocks for the vast majority of species. There's only really one that we're concerned about, that's saddletail snapper. But really key species, like you say, like coral trout, red emperor, all these popular species have now moved on to our green list because they've got healthy fish stocks. Fishers are operating with satellite tracking, and they're operating within a world-class marine park in the Great Barrier Reef. And having that satellite tracking, it gives the public certainty that fishing, there's no illegal fishing, fishers aren't fishing in green zones and things like that. We know that the fish stocks are being managed sustainably. And so the reef line fishery has been at this forefront of the march towards sustainability, and we'd really encourage both the Queensland government and also the fishers operating in the other fisheries to be demanding the Queensland government take similar steps to this, and that we can minimise the impact on our environment, because we want, at the end of the day, we want the public to have a much bigger range of green listed sustainable seafood that they can choose from, that they can go into a fishmonger and they don't have to think about what's sustainable, because everything is sustainable. But right now, we'd certainly encourage your listeners to have a look at the website and see what products are sustainable in Queensland, and that's on goodfish.org.au.
Excellent. And look, you know, it has become so highly politicised and polarised, and unfortunately it's hijacking the science and the facts behind what we need to do for the sustainable, and I guess for the long-term benefits of our waters, for our kids, our grandkids, and at the end of the day, not interested in politics, I want the science, the good science, and this is certainly something that's sending us in that correct direction. Great to talk to you this morning, and as you suggested, check it out. I'll put a link online. It is the Good Fish Sustainable Seafood Guide, and the AMCS Queensland Fisheries expert, Simon Miller. It's been great to talk to you this morning. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks, Murray.